Thank you, Ilsa. And make sure when you see the hand chime team around the building to thank them and tell them what a great job they did and what a great way for them to participate in our service here. Hey, it is a season of anticipation. It was a few weeks ago that we began our Advent series, and we looked at a children anticipating Christmas and what may come and the celebrations that come around the season of Christmas. It is the Advent season, the season of waiting. But it's not just waiting passively, sitting back in our chairs. No, it's eagerly anticipating the coming of the King. It's this waiting of in eagerness. It's not passive. I want to point out a few things and summarize our story of Simeon today and his encounter with the Christ child. Well, Simeon was a regular man, but was waiting for this consolation, the comfort of Israel. He was waiting, anticipating that the Messiah, the Christ, would come. And there would be comfort for Israel. If you notice throughout the passage, this is a time when Jesus is going through all types of rituals and his naming ceremony, his circumcision, his like all kinds of these things that were a part of the law in Jesus' day. They're pretty particular to point out all the details of what was going on purpose. Because in Jesus' life, it's really important that he was without sin. Even according to the law, he had no sin in his life, which makes him, in the end, then, the perfect sacrifice for us with no sin. So that's why these details are there. Another thing I want you to notice as we recap the story is look at Simeon and how he operates his life. There's three Holy Spirit statements that happened. The Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit spoke and revealed intel to him. Namely, it was a promise, right? That he wouldn't see death, he wouldn't taste death until he saw the Christ, the Lord's Christ. And the last one is this: he was moved by the Spirit. He was moved by the Spirit to actually be in the right place at the right time to see Jesus and the Holy Family come in and then be able to hold Jesus and give this reaction, give this declaration, his blessing over the Lord. And I want to read the blessing again. It says this: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He's holding this child, and he knows God has given him the inside scoop to know who this baby really is, that he is salvation, that he is a revelation to us, the Gentiles, revealing that God has come for us. And he's the glory of Israel, the one who would put Israel on the map, really. But I want you to notice this. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. I mean, it's the advent of peace, so we should bring it up, right? But this is pretty significant what's going on here with a promise that was given to Simeon, and then he's now fulfilled. That promise is fulfilled. He's able to see the Lord's Christ, and he can be dismissed in peace. He waited for I don't know how long when this promise was given to him, but he had to wait. Waiting was a part of his faith, was a part of his believing and anticipating. It included waiting. Waiting on God. I wonder for us today where we're at with waiting on God. If we even have maybe the patience of Simeon, or we're looking for the next best thing in our spiritual life and our physical life, are we able to wait on the Lord? And maybe a more broader way to ask this question here this morning is, where are you at with God? Can we ask that of ourselves this morning? Like, where are you at in your relationship with God? Is it a life of belief and faith in who he is and who he promises? Maybe there's some doubts right now. Maybe you're just looking for the next spiritual high in your life and you want something new and fresh. Are we able to wait? Are we able to wait on him? Are we able to lean into his promises in Scripture and through the Holy Spirit and be able to say, yes, I believe, and yes, I'll wait? Because I think here's key that I think we can extrapolate from our passage here today is this. When we wait, we always find peace. When we wait on God, we'll always find his peace. And that's where we're heading today. Peace always comes. Peace always comes. There's nothing more fulfilling in life than when you can see the Lord at work. Maybe you see something in Scripture about salvation. Maybe it's about baptism like last week, or you see the promises of God and they're fulfilled in your life. There's nothing that brings a sense of peace quite like a promise of God being fulfilled. R.C. Sproul says it this way. Simeon didn't have to see anything. He didn't see any miracles or teaching. The Holy Spirit gave the promise and the prompting, and that was enough. That hit me. I was like, I never really thought about that. Like, Simeon probably didn't get to see Jesus grow up and be this great man of faith and see him as the Christ as he truly was. No, he held him as a baby and said, I'm good. That's pretty cool, I think. That was enough for him in his faith. A little piece of the promise. We don't always get to see the whole picture of our faith. That's what faith really is, right? We follow in faith, though we don't have all the answers. A lot of Christians try to seek out all the answers, and we get anxious and nervous in our culture and our day because we don't have all the answers for everything. And that's okay. It's okay to not have it all. It's called faith for a reason. That when we experience Christ in our life and he comes in and he changes us and we meet with him, maybe like Simeon met with him, except not a baby, obviously. And that's good, right? That's good enough. Peace came to Simeon, and peace comes to us as well. Recently, Nadine and I decided that she was going back to school. And so in January, like in a few weeks actually, scary, she's going to be starting her master's in counseling. And but that we didn't come to that like, I mean, I normally don't come to decisions like super lightly, especially big ones like this, or like moving, or like buying a house, or I'm like a pros and cons list type of guy. I have my budgets for everything, right? This is like, it's a big deal. I sweat, I stress over things, all these big decisions. Well, in the summer, we were traveling for vacation a little bit, a road trip across the prairies, and as we were driving, we had to make a different stop than we were planning at a friend's place, Nadine's friend in particular, who had just finished her master's in counseling and began work. And we talked with her a bit about it, and it was going really well for her and her family. Her husband's a pastor, and it lined up nicely with our lives. And so as we were driving, we did our vacation, and on our way back, we were driving back, and Nadine looks at me as I was driving, so you can picture me driving, because I drive everywhere, right? And says, Brandon, I really think I'm supposed to do, that God wants me to do a master's in counseling, to go into counseling. And different than my character, where I'm like, well, okay, let's think about it. You know, maybe it's a passing fate, like a fad in your life. I don't know. No, I was like, yeah, I think God is actually telling you to do that. Like instant reaction in my life that I knew it had to be God. I knew it had to be the Holy Spirit on me and speaking out of these lips because that would not come out of my mouth normally. I'm like, I don't know if we can afford that right now. And you just had a baby, okay? Like, maybe later, right? No, it was like, I think this is what God is calling us to, and what calling you to. God's peace filled us in that moment. I love those moments. I love those moments of leading, I was even listening to Colossians this morning, and that passage in there, there's a passage where it says, "In the peace of, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." I think that's what it is. Maybe in times of anxiousness, that God's supernatural peace just fills us because of his Spirit with us. And I live for those moments. It was a couple, about 2.5 years ago when my mom passed away. And I've told this story a few months ago, but in a different way I'll tell it this time is. So I was called into New Brunswick to fly in, and so I flew in. By the time I got there, my mom was already in an induced coma for the pneumonia and the superbug that was in her system. And so I didn't actually get to talk with her, like where she could communicate with me. Anyway, I spent an entire, I don't know how many days, about a week in this little hospital room, slept there with my dad and I in this one little room for many days. And we cooped up there right outside the ICU so they could come talk to us instantly, or we could go in and visit her whenever we wanted. The week was full of chaos and peace, and I could describe that. But let me describe this one moment with you. She was in this induced coma, and seeing her in the state she was, there wasn't much hope that she would survive. She was on all kinds of machines to survive at this point. And so I go in and I get gowned up, because I had to gown up, put the gloves on, the mask on, and sit with her. And I could never really stay too long. It was kind of emotionally charged. But I sat there this one time, and I just had this sense from the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't know even why it came to my mind. But I looked at my mom and I said, "Mom, like, do you see Jesus?" Like, and I believe she could hear me, so I just asked again, "Like, do you see him? Like, if you see him, go to him. Like, just go to him." You know, my heart broke in that moment, but it was a sense of peace and joy that filled me for some reason in that very sad moment. And it wasn't too much longer after this that she actually passed away. But a sense of peace in the midst of death is so important. And for me, it was everything in that moment. I'm reminded of that story in my life when I hear these words from Simeon, when he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." He was good. He wasn't just good. He was good in his soul, and he was good to die. He was fine. Peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It actually probably doesn't make sense much in our world. You can depart in peace. It means he was released in peace. Imagine being told that you would definitely not die until a certain event happened. Maybe it was to see peace in a certain country, or to see cancer cured, or the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. Like maybe for some of you that's really important, and God tells you that, and you're like, "Okay, I got so long to live, actually, with some of those things. What's closer, cancer cured or the Oilers winning the Cup? I don't know." You know, being young, maybe it would potentially cause anxiety in your life of oh no, like I'm going to die and I have to come to grips with this. But maybe it actually changes your mindset to actually live a different way than maybe you would have before. And maybe if you're older in years, you're like, "Finally, okay? Like when that time comes, I'm good to go," right? As you rub your aching back and shake off your numbing foot or something, I don't know. But Simeon, day after day, anticipated with eagerness, I think, this peace that would come for him in finding the Messiah. And I think it changed how he lived. I can just tell from the scriptures here today, by the way it's written of him being faithful, he probably came to the temple constantly looking for this Messiah, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I wonder more and more as he poured his coffee, as he ate his rice, maybe not rice, but ate something and got through the motions of every day anticipating, how it changed his choices, his decision making. Maybe his prayers were more pointed or fervent. Maybe he decided to purchase things along the lines of the coming Messiah. Maybe he loved like the Messiah was on his way. You know, probably there was days where he was less convinced than others that he was coming. But we see from our passage today that he anticipated fully and was very excited to see Jesus. He held hope. The promise brought Simeon peace in his moment of every day, and then in the end as well. Then and now. Then and now. Church, I think this needs to be us. Brothers and sisters, I think this needs to be us. Where we can find peace now because we know peace is coming then. In our final end, on this earth anyway, and in this form, in this body, we anticipate with eagerness Christ returning yet again to become, to find this ultimate peace within our lives. Peace at the end, which hopefully, and I pray, gives us peace to live today with eagerness and anticipation, a deep down peace in the bottom of our souls. You see, the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. It moved him. It spoke. He spoke with him. He revealed the Savior to him. R.C. Sproul says it this way, about Simeon. He saw a poverty-stricken peasant couple holding a baby, which perhaps was still adorned with swaddling cloths. Rags, right? But instantly, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, he recognized the Savior. Deep down within, we don't just have the Spirit on us like Simeon today. No, Scripture tells us in John chapter 14, 16 to 17, it actually says this. When Jesus was leaving, he promised the disciples, I'm not going to leave you abandoned. I'm not going to leave you alone. It's actually good for me to go because I'm going to send the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to be with you, like Simeon, but to be in you as well. This is a change. This is a significant change for us today, church. For us to not just have the availability of the Holy Spirit to be on us to find peace, but to be in us, creating peace within our souls and guiding us to actually be agents of peace wherever we go. I think this is really exciting news. Later on in that chapter, verses 26 and 27, Jesus actually says this, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. He says, I don't give it like the world gives it. My peace I give to you. His peace through the Spirit lives in us. It's in our soul. But it's not meant to stay there either. We're actually meant to be agents of peace. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us that we're to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, he said. We're supposed to take this peace and pass it on to the world around us. To be agents of light in a dark world. To pass it on. I love, I love liturgical churches for this reason. I love that their tradition of passing the peace. You know how at the end today, I'm going to tell you at some point to greet each other, right, in the name of the Lord. For a more liturgical sense, they actually pass the peace. There's a theological and practical significance to the greeting time. When they look at each other in the eyes, they turn to one another and say, the peace of Christ be with you. And then you say back, and also with you. It's a passing of the peace. It's a small practice of what we do practically throughout our day. Can we try it? Have you done this before? Can we try this? I want you to turn to somebody right now beside you and say that line, the peace of Christ be with you, and then reply, and also with you. Go ahead, do that with a couple people. That's a different way of greeting one another, isn't it? More than a hello, more than a how are you as you pass by, but actually pronouncing peace over someone's life because the Holy Spirit is on you and in you, and you get to pass that on. That's different than our world's peace. I think our world, peace for our world is simply maybe a stoppage in war for a period of time. Maybe it's finding yourself, right? to eat, pray, love this world. Maybe it's numbing yourself with substance or materials. Maybe for you this Christmas is simply not arguing over the dinner table, right? And that's all peace is. But the peace of Christ is deeper and more far-reaching than we could ever imagine. And that's what we get to live in, and he in us. Deep down peace. Do you have peace today? Have you been able to sense that peace of Christ in your life? Welcome him in this Advent season, this Christmas season. And we'll wait for his return in peace. True peace that our world doesn't understand. It's a peace that passes understanding. We're going to prepare for communion fairly soon here, but I'll invite the worship team to come at this time. But I just want to pray over you as they get ready. Of an acceptance of peace. Can we do that? So if you want, just join me in prayer as we get ready for communion here. Take a moment to come to the Lord Jesus. We ask that you be meeting with us here in these moments. God, we live in a chaotic time, and many of us have chaos in our lives currently. And we want to confess that chaos, the chaos externally and internally. Why don't you go ahead and confess that chaos to him? Tell him about it. Say, God, this is what's going on. Here's the chaos. As you feel the weight of the chaos, as you confess it, as you're talking with him, ask Jesus to take it away. Open up your hands and say, Jesus, can you please take this chaos? I want you to sense a weight being taken off of you. Jesus, take the weight. Take this chaos. As you feel that weight lifting, or if you need to feel it even more, say, Jesus, would you replace this chaos with your peace? Holy Spirit, I welcome you in. Continue in that prayer if you need to. For some of us who've been sensing peace, I think we need to ask this question to God: who can I pass peace on to this week? Who can I pass peace on to this week? Ask him for a name, a face. God, I ask that you would help us to be agents of peace, being overwhelmed with the peace that comes from you and your Spirit. Especially in a chaotic world, Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name, amen.